Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the best single game RV value in Happy Valley. Check them out at GoPSURV.com. I know Audrey Snyder does from The Athletic. She joins us now to weigh in on all this transfer stuff. Audrey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm not in the portal, so I guess that would make me great.
Not voluntarily in the portal yet. I feel like us in any kind of media industry, we just get put in the portal. We don't have a choice in it. We just get put there.
I think I've spent half my career probably in the portal.
You've been a transfer. You're lucky. You've managed your career wisely, but you didn't leave any eligibility on the table, thankfully. So, what do you make of this big number? It's in double digits for sure, depending on how you characterize portal guys versus non-portal guys or what have you, but there's a lot of Penn State guys exploring their options. Is it a big cause of concern for the program, in your opinion?
You know, Dustin, I think it's not problematic in the matter of who they're losing. I mean, none of these people so far, and again, we don't know as of, you know, we're recording this on Monday, we don't know what Lamont Wade is going to do. I mean, it's reportedly he's in the rumor, he's at the cryptic Instagram post of a cleaned out locker in the football building, but he's still a ways away from graduation. So to me, should Wade leave, and again, we don't know what's going to happen with him as of yet, that would be the biggest one. Jawan Johnson, certainly being a graduate transfer, he's a guy, I know Penn State fans probably don't want to hear it, but still could have helped this team out next year. I mean, I think there's a lot of upside there. Just physically, you look at him, we started to see that 2 years ago, and then he regressed this past year. But besides those two guys, everyone else who they're losing, I mean, these were guys, either special teams for a few of them, or people who were buried on the depth chart. I mean, Brandon Polk is going to pursue a grad transfer, was a non-factor down the stretch. Zach McPherson, special teams guy. Aaron Monroe, special teams. And then really, kind of fell off the face of the earth toward the end of the season there, didn't suit up for the bowl game and kind of, you know, was buried. Isaiah Humphreys was a guy we really even got to know, as he was an early enrollee last year, Breland Faison Walden. So the list goes on and on. And yes, how do you kind of factor Sterling Jenkins into that? Because he's headed to Duquesne, but yet he was introduced on senior day. So, double digits, but really, ultimately, I think what we're going to see happen is they're going to approach these future signing classes differently and look to fill more toward the full class, the 25, because of all the attrition that they've had. I think this is something that we could see as the players get more leverage with the portal. We could see Penn State try and bolster their classes a little bit more in the coming years.
Yeah, I think even more. That's a good point. You know, you're looking for any indication right now of how this portal, which essentially we keep saying portal. What it really represents is a student athlete's right to more freely, without obstruction, choose where they get to go. And for Penn State, you know, they're in a unique position because it's James Franklin's philosophy to graduate guys early, where I don't think that's necessarily a big concern for some other coaches. So Penn State, I think, naturally opens themselves up for a little bit more turnover as far as this goes. Guys who were stuck, but who got their degrees. And so it'll be interesting. But what we're really looking for is a clue to figure out how this is going to impact college football in a long-term, big-picture kind of way. And I think what you're saying is interesting is that you're building even more attrition in. You know, attrition is a weird thing anyway, where it's going to happen, but you don't know how. And so that seems kind of scary to me when you're building your roster and you're bringing in more scholarships than you think you have and not knowing if or when the attrition is going to come.
Right. And it's part of a column I have up on The Athletic where I looked at this and, you know, Penn State, and the thing about the portal that I think is really interesting is that I guess, you know, the NCAA and head coaches, players thought that everything was going to be kept under wraps, you know, players can go to compliance, talk to their head coach, have their name submitted in the portal, and everything was going to happen behind closed doors. Well, especially with higher profile guys, the names were going to get out there, right? I mean, everybody was going to know who was there. Now, Penn State, their number of players in the portal. And again, this isn't something that you and I can see. I mean, this is something that head coaches can see. And Bruce Feldman had a great piece up on The Athletic about it, how it's like this big, massive database that doesn't seem to be organized very cleanly as you kind of pluck through and look at names. But for Penn State, I mean, you have that risk, right? When you talk about attrition and how you're going to build this roster. Maybe next year, you know, you don't have a lot of kids who move on. I know James Franklin likes to talk with players at the end of the season. They talk with them again at the end of spring ball and kind of tell them where they stack up on the depth chart. And I think that what we're seeing now is a reflection of that, because certainly, yes, you know, you talk about double-digit numbers and you say, whoa, that's a lot. These are scholarship guys. I mean, potentially, depending what happens with Mont Wade, Penn State could have three scholarship safeties on campus for spring ball, far from ideal. But that's the risk you play. I mean, you're giving the players some leverage to do what they want to do. And, I mean, the benefit for Penn State here, too, is maybe they get burned a little bit with this class, because at this point they have 20 kids, and so to get five more in the next couple weeks is really probably pushing it, especially because of the smaller pool of people that you have left. But future classes, you have that ability to take 25 and kind of, you know, some of these guys maybe usher them out the door a little bit. Because, again, Dustin, yes, a lot of these kids are graduating early, but keep in mind, we're seeing more and more kids get here as early enrollees. Think back to Noah Kane. I mean, when he signed, his thing was, hey, I want to be three and out. I mean, I think that's the reality of it. These kids are taking classes year-round, so really completing a degree quickly isn't as crazy as it might seem, considering you're taking potentially winter classes, two sets of summer sessions, Penn State now is a May semester, all these kinds of things.
So I wonder, and it's really just a suspicion, you know, I mentioned to Greg that nothing really happens. Very little happens that James Franklin hasn't thought through or anticipated or planned around. So I don't think that this number of transfers is a big surprise to him. I wonder if there was a situation where the end of year conversations he's had with guys ended up being a little bit more real this year, and maybe some of this was by design, so to speak. Maybe the turnover was by design, and that Penn State isn't necessarily as unwilling a participant in this as it might seem.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you look at it, and I mean, Penn State, a lot of these kids, the writing was on the wall. I mean, I've been writing it for months. There is no way in my mind Penn State was going to have six scholarship tight ends next year. I mean, it just did not make sense whatsoever. So you start looking at it and you say, okay, Danny Dalton, I mean, where does he slot into this? Okay, he doesn't, so he's going to be a grad transfer and go to Boston College. And good for him. I mean, you know, the kid has his experience here. He'll graduate. He'll get to play his other year elsewhere. Good for him. But I do think that at some point, and we can go back to the great not yet elite comment, when you bring in these big-time recruiting classes, which Penn State has done, you're going to have some awkward conversations about kids who've, you know, been here for a while, and where do you stack up, and what's that dynamic when, you know, maybe a veteran guy gets passed up on the depth chart by a freshman or a sophomore. And I just think that's where this program is at. And it's a good point for Penn State to be there. But I do think it's also really curious as to why so many of Penn State's players in the portal, kind of the names got out there, right? So I guess where's the leak? How's that information getting out there when you look at it? And talking with, you know, my colleagues at The Athletic and all of our other writers, I mean, Michigan maybe is one kid in the portal that they've heard of, you know, Ohio State maybe is one or two, but Penn State, you know, you're hearing like this double-digit number. So I think that's just another level to this whole thing. But certainly it's made January interesting. I will tell you that, though.
January is usually interesting anyway. This is a different level of interest. What's the working theory about the leak? Why is Penn State leaked more than others? Who wants it to be leaked?
I don't know. I mean, it's a great question. I mean, I think you look at it, and again, I mean, the only people who have access to this information are coaches, you know, people who have a password to get into the portal. So, I mean, I think you look at it, and Penn State, you could say, conceivably, like, okay, these guys, you know, it makes sense, the people that they're losing. If you were to pull up a roster, fans, I mean, media members, I think a lot of us would say, yeah, that makes sense. Like, this player, you know, you kind of forgot about. He wasn't making an impact. He wants to go elsewhere. So I think it's more obvious at Penn State in terms of you've seen, you know, the good recruiting classes come in and that sort of thing. But the kids also haven't, you know, come out and denied it, right, and said, hey, I'm not in the portal or whatnot. So I think it just kind of leaves you in this whole ambiguous area, right? And I think that's kind of where things seem to stand with Lamont Wade. He's reportedly in the portal. He hasn't said otherwise, you know, and then you see the cryptic tweets and messages and retweets and all those kinds of things. And maybe we're reading into it more than it is, Dustin, but it's essentially become, you know, a version of free agency to some extent, because you're giving the players some leverage, which is great for them. I mean, if anything, that's something that the NCAA should do, is give these kids more opportunities to do what's best for them. And in this case, I think ultimately it's best for Penn State. Maybe it makes spring a little bit more difficult as you're thin at a few spots. But we saw that last year when, you know, they were thin at tight end and thin at kicker in the spring too.
We're talking to Audrey Snyder from The Athletic about Penn State's transfer situation, a big number of kids looking to explore their options going into 2019. On the flip side of that, Audrey, about a minute here, how impressed are you by the 2019 recruiting class? It feels the program through all this feels less certain than it has in a while, but at the same time, it's a top 10 class when a lot of circumstances said that it might not have been possible in this cycle.
Yeah, see, I don't feel that uncertainty, Dustin. And I guess maybe it's because you look at how this team is built, and we knew that they were going to be getting younger, right? And we knew that when you have these big-time recruiting classes, that's what's going to happen. The people they lost to the draft, I think that made sense. I mean, for the most part, Miles Sanders, you've got a bunch of other running backs waiting in the wings. I think potentially the biggest loss out of that group could be Ryan Bates, just because you look at tackle-wise, what do they have? You know, what do they have coming back? Those sorts of things. But I do think when you look at Penn State and all that they've put together, I still think there's a lot to be excited about. I mean, you have big-time playmakers. You're going to have a change at running back. But again, you have Ricky Slade there. You know, you have Noah Cain coming in. You'll get Devin Ford this summer. You still have Journey Brown. I mean, you have all those pieces. So I don't feel that uncertainty, I guess, but it's late January, right? And so much of what this roster is going to look like by the time spring ball summer gets here is going to start taking shape behind closed doors with these, you know, grueling winter early morning workouts. And that's, I think, really where the identity of a team starts to take its shape.
There you go. Audrey Snyder from The Athletic shedding some light and some wisdom on this transfer situation. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Ask Greg is coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.